Joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline now, as promised, is lead NFL analyst at Pro Football Focus. It's Sam Monson, as he's going to kind of help us through some of these free agent moves that he's evaluated over the last week or so. Sam, thanks for joining us. Good to have you.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
So why don't we jump right into the move that we were talking about, Donald and I, and that being the Brandon Cooks trade to New England. You know, we kind of talk about it as an example of the rich getting richer, but in terms of what they gave up for what they got, I mean, face value, where are you on that?
I think it was a pretty good deal for both sides. You know, the Patriots have obviously decided that they like being able to evaluate receivers once they've played in the NFL. You know, the whole deal about the spread offense is everywhere in college. It's making it really tough for teams to evaluate pretty much every position on offense. It's not just quarterbacks, but it's receivers. Those guys are running different route trees. They've got different rules. They don't have to make adjustments in the routes and all that kind of thing according to the coverage. It messes up running backs. You know, those guys are dealing with a lot more space and have a lot more room to play with that they don't have in the NFL. And it screws up offensive linemen. You know, those guys are not making the kind of NFL blocks and the NFL pass sets that everybody wants them to make. So I think a lot of teams, not just the Patriots, are taking a look at certain parts of that puzzle and saying, you know what, it's easier to look at these guys in the NFL and figure out if they fit our system or not. And maybe we'll pay a guy a bit more in terms of contract value, but we're better off knowing that this guy can play in the NFL than we are taking a shot on a guy that's a rookie and getting him cheap contract-wise, but really having no idea if he can get it done or not. So I think the Patriots have looked at a guy like Brandon Cooks and that production in New Orleans and said, this guy's a perfect receiver for our system. He's got speed, he's got shiftiness, he's got quickness in short areas. He can be a productive receiver here and be that kind of deep threat, big play guy that we don't have here otherwise. And I think, to be honest, the first round pick is a pretty reasonable price to pay for that, especially given where theirs is in the round.
Now, Sam, you know, since we're on the Patriots and we're on the rich keep getting richer, the Patriots have really, I mean, it's not something that we're used to seeing from the Patriots, them give these big contracts and bring in talent in different areas of the team. So they end up signing Stephon Gilmore to a big deal. They end up re-signing Dante Hightower to a big deal. They brought in Brandon Cooks. I mean, what's going on there? Is their window closing, and that's why we're seeing them hand out these big contracts?
I mean, I think the Brandon Cooks one makes sense for the reasons we just talked about. The interesting deal there, I think, is the Stephon Gilmore one, because it's not even so much that they paid the guy big money. It's that they chose to prioritize bringing in Gilmore over Malcolm Butler, potentially. And, you know, we saw from last season, Malcolm Butler had a fantastic year. He was, I think, PFF's first team All-Pro at cornerback. His numbers were not amazing, but his play, when you look at the tape, was, I think, fantastic. You know, he showed the ability to go one-on-one with receivers. They used him to track some of the best receivers in the game, and he held up doing that. So they had a guy in-house who was a top-tier corner, and instead they went after Gilmore, who at best, I would say, is a sideways step and is probably a little bit worse than Butler. Gilmore is one of these guys who has the ability to do everything, but he's never really put it all together for a consistent period of time over, you know, a year or more. He's always been this guy who you think there's a little bit more left in the tank, and maybe the Patriots think they can get that, but it's interesting they paid that much money to bring a guy in from outside to do that.
Looking at the, you know, Bills situation, obviously they had another receiver over the weekend in Andre Holmes. You know, certainly not a guy that's had the opportunity to challenge for a number two receiver role in his career, and obviously was stuck behind guys like Amari Cooper and Crabtree in Oakland. He comes here now. What do you think is a realistic option for him in terms of what he can compete for here, at least on the surface now, knowing, you know, we still have a lot of free agency to travel and the draft as well, where there's a deep receiver class?
Yeah, I mean, it should increase his opportunities, if nothing else, you know, to show what he can do. Last year, he got targeted just 23 times, which is, you know, it's really nothing in the greater scheme of things. The guys in front of him in Oakland, Amari Cooper was targeted 127, Michael Crabtree 142, and Seth Roberts was the third wide receiver there, and he got targeted 75 times. So he really just got the scraps as that fourth wide receiver there. But he did pretty well. He caught 60% of those, caught 14 passes for 126 yards and three touchdowns, which is, you know, those are decent numbers when you consider how little opportunity he had to actually do anything. So I think in Buffalo, we should see him at least see a few more targets come his way, and then it's going to be up to him to see, you know, if he makes the most of those or if he's going to be a guy that kind of slips further down the pecking order again. I mean, he was further up at previously in Oakland. Back in 2014, he saw 90 targets come his way, and he only caught 50% of those, didn't have nearly the same production, you know, dropped five passes. So he's a guy, I think, that has had opportunity before and hasn't quite delivered and subsequently slipped down the depth chart when they added talent. But, you know, he should get at least one more chance in Buffalo to see an increased role and just see if he can do something more with it.
Hey, Sam, I want to ask you a little bit and flip over to the defensive side of the ball. We're going to stay in Buffalo, though. Micah Hyde comes over from Green Bay, a team that their DBs were awful this year. They really were. And he was really like one of the better guys on that defense. So can you tell Bills fans, you know, what to expect from a guy like Micah Hyde?
Yeah, Micah Hyde is a guy that is – he's played all over that defense, really. He's been a slot corner for them. He's been a safety for them. He's even played a bit outside as a true boundary corner. And he's been pretty good at all of it. You know, he's one of these guys that gets termed versatile and a bit of a matchup player and a guy that you can line up in the slot or at strong safety and have him cover tight ends or receivers or running backs. And he'll be able to do all of that. And a lot of times the word versatile gets thrown out, you know, at guys who just do a lot of things, and they don't necessarily do any of them particularly well. But I think Micah Hyde is a guy that does do everything he does reasonably well. He gets, you know, he's a solid option in coverage in all those different spots. I think he allows you some flexibility if you're that Bills defense. Now you can take a player like him and use him as that kind of reverse matchup player on defense to go up against a guy that you might not have been able to cover before. So say a Rob Gronkowski, you know. He's not going to be as good as a Rob Gronkowski, but at least you now know that there's a guy that you can put on him all game long, and you're not going to get completely caught out by a weird personnel group or a formation that the Patriots run, and suddenly you're left with a linebacker on Gronkowski.
Now, I know, and by the way, folks, we're talking to lead NFL analyst at Pro Football Focus, Sam Monson, here on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, just about free agency moves and kind of ranking them to some extent and evaluating them, and Sam's done that on the website at profootballfocus.com. You also, I remember you wrote an article a couple of months back about Tyrod Taylor and why you felt that they should keep him here in Buffalo. And obviously that's come to fruition now. So how do you look at it now, along with what's been added on the offensive side of the ball, albeit value additions, you know, Andre Holmes being the latest version of that? How do you assess Taylor in the fold in this offensive system with some of what's been added to this point, knowing what's going to be run under Rick Dennison?
I think it's a great move. Look, Tyrod Taylor for us has been one of the top, I think he's been in the top 10 of our grades in the NFL for the past two seasons, or if it's not top 10, he's right on that kind of 10, 11, 12 borderline for each of the last 2 years. And I get why people don't like Tyrod Taylor, because he's not the finished product. You know, he's a guy that is never going to be the next Aaron Rodgers. He's never going to put up 5,000 passing yards. He's just not that kind of quarterback. But the things that he does are things that make him a viable, winning kind of player. You know, he doesn't turn the ball over much. He has an extremely low interception rate. He has a pretty good touchdown rate. He's a guy that will score points and, you know, won't put the ball in harm's way too much. And you can win with that, you know, even if there are things that he doesn't do well. And, of course, you have that added dimension with what he can do on the ground as a running threat. And I think the most encouraging move the Bills made this offseason was bringing in Patrick DeMarco as a fullback. You know, if you're going to go the other way to the way every other team is going with these crazy high-octane passing spread offenses, you're going to try and do things a little bit different with this quarterback that is a little more high-percentage, low kind of volume passer, but he's got a running threat. And then you're going to bring in a guy that's been one of the league's best blocking fullbacks, if not the best blocking fullback for the past couple of seasons, and you're going to say, okay, we're going to do things a little bit differently. We're already one of the best rushing teams in the NFL. We're going to go, you know, completely 100% in that direction, and we're going to use this X-factor quarterback, and we're going to bring in one of the game's best blocking fullbacks, and you're going to have to really do your worst to try and stop this rushing attack. And then we have a guy like Tyrod Taylor who can, you know, go play off the back of that with play action and, you know, be just efficient enough as a passer to get things done.
Sam, one of Tyrod's weapons, his favorite weapon from last year, Robert Woods, is not here anymore. Obviously, you know, he signed with the Rams. He replaces Kenny Britt. Does Robert Woods become their number one receiver? I mean, they have Tavon Austin, but he's not really a number one receiver. He's more of a gadget guy. So does Robert Woods become their number one threat?
I think he probably does by default. They're paying him to be that guy, and we're going to see if he can step into that role and do it. I mean, he's never really shown the ability yet to be that guy, but that doesn't mean he can't. You know, the interesting thing about Woods is when you look last season at the few occasions where he was really heavily targeted and he became kind of a number one option, he stood up. You know, he got big yardage. He scored touchdowns when that happened, or he scored a touchdown when that happened. And that at least shows you signs of encouragement that when this team passes him the ball more than 10 times, when this team does use him as a number one target, he's been productive. But that's a lot of money to pay to project that going forward. It's going to be interesting to see if he can do that.
And then looking elsewhere in the AFC East here, Sam, I mean, you've got Kenny Stills, who wanted to re-up with Miami and go back there rather than venture out and find another job somewhere else in free agency. I kind of look at the move. I understand it. You know, he thinks he's part of a successful team that's headed in the right direction after their playoff berth last year. But you can't deny that DeVante Parker is going to be a higher priority agenda item for this offense, knowing he was a first-round pick, than Kenny Stills. So where does he fit coming back into that receiving core down there, knowing Jarvis Landry is the number one?
Well, you see, Landry is an interesting player because he's the number one target, but he's a guy that plays a lot in the slot, and he's never going to be the kind of the deep threat,
right.
You know, the impact Randy Moss kind of number one receiver. So that position for the Dolphins is still there to be won, and it's, you know, it's going to be between Parker and Stills, and they do have a lot invested in Parker in terms of the first round pick, but they've also clearly been a little bit disappointed by his development. So I would say that that is a fair competition. You know, Kenny Stills had 9 touchdowns last season, more than double the amount DeVante Parker did. Wasn't a whole lot behind in targets and receptions and that kind of stuff. So I think that, you know, that job is there to be won. If he wants to go out there and prove he's Miami's number one receiver, I think he has every opportunity to do that. And a guy like Jarvis Landry, you know, it doesn't prevent him from being that guy because he's going to be the high-volume underneath, you know, receiving threat in that offense. So I think there's space for both of them, and Parker, you know, won't prevent him from being that guy if he has it in him.
Lead analyst from Pro Football Focus, Sam Monson, talking all and anything NFL. Free agency is the last stuff he's been dealing with right now. Do you got anything coming up on tap here, Sam, that fans need to know about?
Yeah, well, we're now full swing into draft mode. So if you go to profootballfocus.com, you can find PFF's draft pass. So any of you guys that were upset at PFF shutting down all of the unique stats and signature stats we had, we are applying them all to the draft. You can buy a subscription. You get a whole load of ridiculous stats presented for everybody that's going to be anybody your team's going to be looking for.
All right, very good, Sam. Once, as always, thanks very much for the time. We appreciate it. I'm sure that Murph and Donald will check back in with you before the draft comes around at the end of April.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, that's NFL lead analyst Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus.